So I am the resurrection, the life is a very, very positive thing to be looking at. So let's enjoy it being so positive this morning as we dig deeper into that very famous saying of Jesus. I'd just like to give an introduction to what we're going to be thinking of today. And it's an account where Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. And when he said this account, it was a very major occurrence of the raising of Lazarus from the dead. And when I was looking at this, it reminded me of the title of a movie film one day, You Only Live Twice. Anybody ever seen that one? James Bond, something like that. And I thought, I've got to use that as the title for today. I daren't put it at the top, but it is right, isn't it? It's You Only Live Twice. But the point is, there are three famous people in this Bible account. There are two sisters and a brother. The sisters are Martha and Mary, and their brother was Lazarus. And Lazarus was the one who died. And after a few days, and during a few days, people gathered around. And then, of course, Jesus came along, and we shall find out all about his resurrection. But the You Only Live Twice and they are the resurrection of life doesn't just relate to Lazarus, because the way Jesus said it, he was talking about a new life, not just a physical resurrection for Lazarus and eventually for us, but a new life that he was going to give. So he kind of said, I'm the resurrection and the life. And we hear this in the accounts we have of Martha and Mary, because in the Gospels we have three accounts of Martha and Mary. One, the middle one was this one. Then there was an earlier one. And then there was one shortly after this one. And on each occasion, Martha and Mary seemed to be developing a new life. Can you see what I mean? Jesus says, I'm the resurrection and the life. And they related it to Martha and Mary, not just to the one who had actually physically died. And it reminds me of what Jesus was saying at the beginning of his ministry, 2 or 3 years before he was saying this, when he was talking to a Jewish leader who was so fascinated with what Jesus was saying. He said, you must be born again. Still living physically on the world, but born again. So can you see the relationship between I am the resurrection and the life? And also all three of these, Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. So that's why I just wanted to give that introduction, so we saw the setting of this. But while I'm on it, I just want to mention about the last few minutes of this service, because we're going to conclude the service by having a reflection and a special hymn about the difficulties at the moment in Gaza and in Ukraine, and the deep conflict that is going on there, that is all over the news at the moment. And I thought it would be good for us, as many people in churches will be doing, to have a time of reflection in the last few minutes of our service, and then close that with a hymn which is very specifically on this subject, and which a friend of mine wrote when that was very much in the news some years ago. So that's just to kind of introduce our service. We're going to split the readings and the talks into two. And Don is now going to come and read the first half of the Bible reading to us, which is from John chapter 11, verses 17 to 37. So thank you very much, Don, and off you go.
Jesus comforts the sisters of Lazarus. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Oh Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, See how he loved him. But some of them said, Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?
Thank you very much, Don. Let's just say a prayer before we think through these words and how they apply to us and to our world. Thank you, Lord, for the word which is the word of God in the Bible, the words and acts of Jesus. And help us to understand and respond. And may your Holy Spirit lay on our hearts how this applies to us and our Christian community here and to our world. Amen. So here you have, I am the resurrection and the life. And if we look at the context, Jesus was here talking to close friends. We don't often have occasions when Jesus is just seen to be spending time with friends. He's so often going around preaching and teaching and healing and doing all sorts of stuff, but just going to have time with friends, to maybe stay with them, have meals with them. We don't hear so much about them. But these were three close friends who he clearly been friendly with for a long time. And that just makes you feel so happy for Jesus that he was able to have friends like that. And with these friends you had, as we've just seen in our introduction, you had Lazarus, who had just died, and his two sisters, Mary and Martha. And I love the way that John, in one of his verses, in verse 5 of chapter 11, says, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Wasn't that a lovely thing to say? So John, writing this gospel quite a long time after this event, was clearly so aware of this relationship going on. But then you come to You Only Live Twice. Just to go a bit further into what I was mentioning a little bit earlier in the introduction, he seems to have been referring to his own forthcoming resurrection, which was not far away, because when it was only a fairly short time away, it was obviously in his mind. He knew what would happen to him. He knew when he paraded into Jerusalem and made so many hurrahs that it was going to be a very difficult week and things would go downhill very quickly later in the week. But he knew that somehow he would be raised from the dead and he would be living forever. But being Jesus, human as well as divine, he didn't kind of get the sight that we see. He couldn't see the future and the past all at once yet. Not all the time, anyway. But he would be looking to his own forthcoming resurrection. And then he would be looking at the literal about to happen resurrection of Lazarus. And then he would be looking at the new life for Martha and Mary. So that's just going into the situation. So let's have a look at the text in which this is described in verses 25 and 26. I am the resurrection and the life. He's joining the two together. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. So we have a new life while we are still alive. We are born again, and we are different. Take that forward a little bit and look at resurrection. First of all, look at the resurrection of Lazarus. It wasn't the first time he did this. There are two previous times when Jesus resurrected someone. I could ask someone. You don't have to say, but put your arm up if you remember one or both of those. Yeah, you've done well, haven't you? Oh, yes, great. One of them was a widow's son in Nain. And it was a situation, when you read that bit of the gospel, that Jesus was obviously felt so brokenhearted about it on her behalf, because she was a widow and she had the son, and the son died. And then the other one, it was a synagogue leader's young daughter. The synagogue leader was called... And again, yeah, we're coming on. The young daughter, again, you can see the way that Jesus felt, a young daughter who died. So in his love and sympathy for them, and because of that, he brought them back to life again. So we can see so much about the way Jesus felt on this. And here was one of his best friends, Lazarus, and he brought him to life. And then we look at the word life. How many times is the word life mentioned in John's gospel? Isn't that something which Mike guessed at the other week, or am I thinking of a different word? It's 41. Yeah. And I counted them. Well, it's fairly easy to count, but if you go on the right website and just look up life in word in John's Gospel, you show 1, 2, 3. Yes, it's 41, so we managed it. So these words of Jesus had a lot of significance behind them. And on this time it was very personal for Jesus. In verse 33, we read, in relation to Mary, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Isn't that a lovely thing to say? And John must have, in all his talks with every disciple that was alive still when he put this gospel together, must have been able to get that feeling from those who were there. And he very well himself could have been there. He was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. And then in verse 35, we hear Jesus wept. And there's only one other reference to Jesus weeping that is actually written in the Gospels, probably more times than he did it, but only one that is referenced. And that's when he went to Jerusalem and looked at it and thought, oh no. I don't know quite what he was thinking, but he might have thought, what on earth has gone on with Jerusalem now? And you could say that today, couldn't you? Not about Jerusalem, but just down the road. And you have again in verse 38, that feeling of Jesus, a very personal feeling. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. And we'll take that further in a minute or two. We're going to now listen to Don reading the second part of our Bible reading for us from John 11, 38 to 44.
Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. 'Twas a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. 'Take away the stone,' he said. 'But Lord,' said Martha, the sister of the dead man, 'by this time there is a bad odour, for he's been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth round his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go."
Thinking as you read "Lazarus, come out," is it the authorized version in which Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth"? Does that ring a bell? That's very much more Shakespearean, isn't it? And very much more dramatic. I think it's a good way of putting it. "Lazarus, come forth." And forth he came. But let's have a look at Lazarus, Martha, and Mary, what happened. A very odd thing here. We don't know anything else about Lazarus. He's not in any of the Gospels, apart from this one event. Even though Martha and Mary are, and they were best friends of Jesus. Did you spot what he said? Nothing. He just stood there, quiet, taking his grave clothes off. He must have said thank you at some time, but he didn't actually record it here. Obviously, there was a reason why John simply let that action speak for itself. But we don't know anything else about him. Wouldn't it be lovely if we did? What does it feel to be born twice? What must it feel like to say, "Oh, I'm going to die again, aren't I?" Which is not very pleasant. "Oh, but I've risen once, so it'll happen again, so it's not going to be too bad." Very, very strange feeling for him to have had. But we don't know anything else about him. It is simply his resurrection and the come forth that John, writing this gospel, wants us to focus on. But then you get Martha and Mary, who were quite significant in this particular account. Obviously, they would be, because they were two sisters and a brother. But let's have a look at the other two Martha and Mary events. The first one was not that far in front of this, and I had a name which came to mind a little while ago of that particular event. Whoops, what have I done? Oh, did I go to that slide? Oh, right. Oops, let me go back. Yeah, Martha and Mary, I call it the episode of the flying saucepan. How about that? Because it seems to have been with Martha and Mary, the very strange but very allowable thing. They were quite different sisters, one from each other. It was Martha who did the cooking, and it was Mary who just sat at the feet of Jesus. Well, that's all right, isn't it? You've got to have somebody to do the cooking, haven't you? But that was quite a serious event for both of them. And it was really the start. I mean, they've probably been friends, well, they've obviously been friends with Jesus for a long time, but it was the start of something new for them, where Jesus said, "I'm the resurrection and the life," because we notice in the three events of which this is the first, that their situation changes and who they are changes. So here was Martha, She was busying and she was doing very necessary stuff, but she was hassled with her cooking and she got a bit crabby. When Anne was checking my spelling before the service, she said, "There's no such word as crabbing." And I said, "There probably is." So I looked it up in the dictionary, and yes, there was a word as crabby, and yes, it described Martha exactly just as well. And then it was Mary listening quietly to Jesus. Now, you might think that just being sat at Jesus' feet while Jesus was teaching was something that was quite understandable, and Mary was a quiet kind of person, no doubt. But it was so audacious, because in the Jewish law of those days, a rabbi had quite a lot of rules about what he could do and who could listen to him. And throughout his 3 years of ministry, Jesus was called by so many people rabbi. You hear it many times. Even though he wasn't an official Jewish rabbi, they said, "Oh, rabbi this and rabbi that." But in those days, it was only men who were allowed to listen to rabbis. And to listen to rabbis, they had to sit at their feet while the rabbis were teaching them. And Mary did it. And she was a woman. She shouldn't have done that. And she would have known that she shouldn't have done that, but she did it. But it was very audacious and very presumptuous, as she was not a man. She wasn't much of a talker, but she was very audacious to do that. And I just want to read a couple of verses that came from that, because the way it puts it is so good. In Luke's gospel, it says, "Martha opened her home to Jesus. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, 'Lord, don't you care that my sister has let me do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me.' 'Martha, Martha,' the Lord answered, 'you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one.'" What a nice way to respond to Martha, wasn't it? "But then he said, 'Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her.'" Oofed. You've been slaving away doing the Sunday dinner, and that's what he says to you. You could have stopped. No wonder there was a flying saucepan probably going around at that time. That was a very oofed thing for Jesus to say. Well, he probably would have been very careful before he said that. I certainly would, before somebody's cooked a Sunday dinner for me and I was wanting to criticize it. But Jesus had a reason for saying that. He was such good friends with Martha and Mary that he could say things like that. But he clearly wanted it to be taken very, very seriously. What Mary has chosen is even better than your actions. There are two things which you are doing, and each one of those is really, really, really important. But Mary just sat down and listening. Don't underestimate that. And both of those things are messages to us. Doing things and not doing things. And then we go on to the episode when Lazarus gets raised. They're uncertain about these things, but what's happening? Look at Martha and Mary. Martha is still the woman of action, and also she's a bit crabby about it, because she says if. In verse 21 it says, oh, I'll read the verse 21 actually, it'd be good to do that, just a moment. Martha said to Jesus, "If you had been here, my brother would not have died." That's slightly crabby of her, isn't it, really? "But," she says. Notice that there's often a but following an if in the Bible. Very important, I've said that before. "But I know that even now God will give you whatever you want." And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise in the resurrection at the last day." And then Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." And then she said, "Yes, Lord," she replied, "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." Now, that was Martha having moved on quite a lot from the flying saucepan, hadn't she? Quite a lot. But then Mary. Mary was probably completely grief-stricken, but immediately goes to Jesus, but then in tears. Interestingly, she says exactly the same as what Martha did, in the same words in verse 32. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But that's all she says. You draw a line under it. And she was crying. And interestingly, Jesus also wept with her. Well, you can apply that to lots of situations in our lives, can't you? That when we have that sort of situation, Jesus weeps with us. What we're going to do now is just to look a little bit at the results of what we've been seeing before. In John 12, verses 1 to 8, we've got an interesting outcome of what happened shortly after that second event. Okay, so that's not Martha doing the cooking, but you know what I mean. In John 12, 1 to 8, they're both doing what is their best, what is their best activity. One is catering and one is caring, with new lives and new motivations. Let me just read those verses to you. And rather than put the words upon the board, just have a listen to them, because they're so well known, and have a look at what's happening in the pictures. Jesus came to Bethany 6 days before the Passover, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honour. Martha served. Well, wouldn't she just? Even though it's not her house. While Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Still don't hear anything he said. Then Mary. Don't hear anything she said. But we see what she did. She took about half a litre of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. And that was a very almost sacred thing to do in those days, because they were dusty roads and people wore sandals rather than proper shoes. And when they came in the house, they usually took the sandals off, so they needed to wash their feet, and they sometimes did it themselves, or unless they had a servant to do it for them. And Jesus did it once to people, didn't he? And here it is, Mary doing it to Jesus. But without the need to say anything, whereas Martha was talking along quite a lot, by listening to Jesus, Mary realized the significance of what she was doing. So she's moved on again. From the first thing, where Martha was doing the cooking and getting a bit crabby, and Mary was just sat listening, to the event of the resurrection of Lazarus, where they both are moving on a lot, to this meal, where it was special for both of them, and they moved on quite significantly, just fulfilling what Jesus had said, I am the resurrection and the life. And so, very simply, at the end of this, we can look at how it applied to Martha and Mary and Lazarus, and we can look at how it might apply to us and those we know and our Christian communities. Martha doing what she does best, happily. Some people are very good at catering. Some people are very good at practical things. Some people are very good at going round and turning the clocks back. All the clocks have been turned back before you even arrived. Thank you very much. Very practical things. And they worry, saying, well, you know, I can't preach, I can't stand up and do prayers. Whatever it is that you've been given to do, do it. And you'll find that your calling comes out. No matter how practical it can be. And Mary doing the quiet, thoughtful, significant things. Don't have to say anything. Don't have to stand up and do anything. Or maybe, and quite often, like Mary, you just do things without telling anybody about them. or without thinking very much about who you're doing it to or what you're doing. How many different ways of doing things did those two ladies have? And just think afterwards here how that could apply to us. I am the resurrection and the life. And now we'll share the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.